This is a storm. Are you folks out there watching this morning? I have any idea how many, but that's irrelevant. But those of you that are watching from wherever you are, we welcome you to this service here at Temple Baptist Church. But I want to speak directly to Temple Baptist Church. I miss you. I miss fellowship with my brethren. These circumstances are out of our control. The only one who knows is God. I had hoped that we would be able to meet Easter. I really looked forward to that, but it didn't work out. I want to say to you before I get into the message, put your trust in God, not in the government, not in the people, but put your trust in God. He'll get us through it. There will be a light at the end of the tunnel. We are going to make it. Even though the gates of hell will try to prevail against the church, it won't do it. So, Temple, I miss you and I love you. And that's why I live. I want you to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 3 and verse number 1 with me this morning. Exodus chapter number 3 and verse 1. The scripture says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt.' And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, 'I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." Father, bless this word now and send it forth for the purpose you intended. It will not return void, but it'll accomplish that which you please. I want to preach to you this morning about Moses. Moses, the servant of the Lord. There was only one Moses in all the Bible. Of all the people that ever lived on this earth, there's only been one Moses. And he was so unique that the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 18, that when the Lord raises up a prophet, that prophet will be like Moses. And that, of course, is a reference to our Lord Jesus Christ. Moses' life can be separated into three distinct periods of 40 years each. 40 in the Bible is a time of testing. The Bible said it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. The Lord Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. The Bible says that Moses was on top of that mountain for 40 days, and Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. So therefore, there's something unique about the life of Moses, since it is broken into three distinct periods of 40 years each. The first 40 years finds Moses, according to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11 and verse number 24, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect to the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt." So the first 40 years of Moses' life can be characterized as the time of testing his relationship with God. You say, "What do you mean?" Well, he had thought in his mind that God was going to use him to deliver Israel from Egyptian bondage. It didn't work out that way. So Moses leaves Egypt a complete failure. An awful lot of people would have never gone any further than that. For if they fail, that's it as far as they're concerned. But God was only beginning to work with Moses, you see, my dear friend. Just because you fail doesn't mean God's finished with you. That failure may be God's way of speaking to you and getting your attention. The second 40 years of Moses' life is when he spends it in the desert of Midian. And he's 80 years old when you read this about this burning bush. 80 years of age. Most people would think, well, God doesn't, he's not going to be able to use me at 80 years. But my dear friend, the time when God used Moses was just the beginning. For when he saw this burning bush, he didn't understand maybe at the time, but his life was about to take a drastic change. Then there's the last 40 years of Moses' life. This is the year that I say that he is the prophet. According to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 18 and verse 15, Moses said, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken." You can read this Bible from cover to cover, and Moses is the only man in that scripture that said that Christ was like him when it came to the prophetic office. Unique indeed. Moses was different. And God, this last 40 years of his life, was going to show you how that his servant had been prepared and he continued to use him. Deuteronomy chapter number 34 and verse number 10 says this. Deuteronomy 34:10. "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and all the signs and wonders and the prophecy and everything that had to do with it." My dear friend, Moses was absolutely and completely different than all the rest of them. So put that down in your mind this morning. There was only one Moses, none before, none since, and Moses was the man of God, and he was the man for the hour. And to this very day, the Jewish people honor, respect, and revere Moses as the father and the lawgiver to the nation of Israel. So he was a prophet like unto Christ. Let's look at how he was. First of all, he was rejected the first time that he came to deliver his brethren. We read that in his first 40 years, they rejected him. So the Lord Jesus Christ was rejected the first time that he came to deliver his brethren. When he did appear, it was suddenly and with power from Almighty God. So it was with Christ. When he did appear, he appeared with power from the Almighty. He demonstrated his power over the serpent when he stood before Pharaoh. That serpent gave in and yielded to the power of Almighty God. So it was after 40 years, 40 days rather, and when the Lord Jesus was in the wilderness, that the serpent laid everything he could before him, tried his best to destroy him, but the Lord Jesus Christ defeated Satan at the cross at Calvary. Amen. When he appeared to his brethren, they wanted to know who sent him. Where did you come from? And of course, the Lord said, "Moses, you tell them that I am hath sent you." When the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his brethren, they wanted to know who sent him. And he told them plainly, "I have come from above. My Father hath sent me." He freed his brethren from bondage by the blood of a lamb. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus Christ freed his brethren by the blood of the lamb, his own blood. Moses gave them a law written in stone, write the word of God with the finger of God on top of that mountain. The Lord Jesus Christ gave them the law of the Spirit written in the heart. Amen. Moses went to the top of a mountain and met God. Christ went, who is God, to the top of a mountain, and Moses met God again. Moses was shown the promised land during his life, but he could not enter its glory and its kingdom. Christ was shown the promised land during his life, but could not enter its glory. And of course, you know who did that. It was Satan that showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and it was Moses that was taken to the top of the mountain and viewed all that land, but he could not go in his lifetime. God was directly involved in the death of Moses, and so with Christ. The Bible tells us plainly that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. No one could find the body of Moses after he had died. Amen. Satan wanted that body so he could raise a shrine to it and let them worship Moses, and neither could they find the body
body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's risen. Glory to God. Moses appears to his brethren heralding the coming of Christ. Every time that Moses appeared to Israel, something was about to happen. And so it was that every time Christ appears to Israel, something is about to happen. He led them out of Egypt. He led them across the Red Sea. He led them for 40 years in the wilderness. Moses was the man of God. He was the man of the hour. He was the prophet. And the Lord Jesus Christ was the prophet like unto Moses. We owe Moses much, because the Bible that I'm preaching from right now, the Pentateuch, I'm preaching to you from the Pentateuch. Moses wrote that about 1,400 years before Christ. Let's talk about Moses' finest hour. You remember I told you how that London in World War II, when Hitler was sending his V2 rockets and bombing them and killing indiscriminately women and children. My friend, it was Churchill who said, "This is our finest hour." A church right now is going through what could be its finest hour. This is when you're tried and you're put to the test. What are you made out of? What's in your soul? Who is your God today? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it mammon? Is it this government? Is it people? Who do you look to make sure that you're going to go to heaven and that you're saved? And so Moses' finest hour, you might say, well, it was the crossing of the Red Sea when he saw Pharaoh and his army drowned. The ones who had tormented him, had tormented his people. He could have said that would be the finest hour of Moses, but no, it wasn't. What about the 40 days on top of the mountain of God, alone with the Lord? How many of us would like to be where Moses was, alone with God? Can you imagine to be in the presence of the Lord for 40 days? But I don't believe that was his finest hour either. What about the burning bush that we read about from the book of Exodus? The burning bush, this bush represents Israel that will forever be persecuted. The Jew is hated to this day as he was then. It burns, but it's not consumed. The reason it's not consumed is because it's holy ground. Holy ground is ground separated unto God. You can't touch it. But I also believe that this burning bush is a type of the church of God. I believe the church will be persecuted. It has been in the past. It will be in the future. But it is holy unto God. The church belongs to the Lord. You might say then, preacher, the burning bush is the finest hour of Moses. I don't think so. What about when the manna came down from heaven and God fed his people? They would have starved to death in the wilderness. Can you imagine how many truckloads of manna it took to feed millions of people? What about the water that came from the rock? When Moses spoke to it, it split asunder, and there the water came forth. What about the bitter water when he tossed the tree into it and it was made sweet? Do you know who makes the bitter water sweet? It is the cross at Calvary. That's the tree. That's the only tree, amen, that can cleanse your soul. And so it was here. Manna, water from the rock, and bitter water at Marah. You could say that was his finest hour, but I don't think so. What about midnight when the death angel came through Egypt and you could hear the cries and the moans and the crying all about you when the death angel came and smote indiscriminately? Mattered not to him. He killed because he was a killer. A killer like this virus that has been set loose on humanity. It's a killer. It doesn't make any difference to it who you are, how much money you have. It's a killer. So you say, preacher, when God Almighty delivered them by the blood of the Lamb that night, there the death angel was moved aside. His power was cut. He was unable to do what he intended to do. You say that might have been his finest hour. It could have been. But I believe in my soul that the finest hour of Moses is when Moses and God were speaking face to face, as they had so many times. The Lord said, I'll speak to you through vision. I'll speak to you through prophecy. But to Moses I'll speak face to face. And so Moses and God had met. And God was under, he was tired of Israel. He's tired of their sinning. And he was going to wipe them from the book. And Moses said, if you take them out of that book, take my name out of that book too. Oh, what a man. Do you know that he knows who he's talking to? If you take his name out, take mine out. I can't help but think in the heart and soul of God, there was a little smile. There had to be a warm place inside his soul, because here was a man who was willing to die for his people. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus Christ died for his people. Do you see? Moses is so much like the Lord Jesus Christ, unlike any other prophet in the Bible. But here's the point. He found his man. He found his intercessor. He found one who loved his people more than he loved himself. And he, my dear friend, there that day, I believe, was Moses' finest hour. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 1, here's what it says in the Holy Bible. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. You see, my friend, Moses and Samuel were intercessors. They stood before God for somebody else. Now, we got prayer warriors in the church, and thank God for them. The prayer warriors are the fighters. They're the ones who they come in against the enemy, like when Amalekites smote Israel and struck them, and Israel fought down in the field, and they went into battle. That's your prayer warrior. He's the one who goes into battle. He goes and he takes prayer, and he assaults the enemy of hell. But my dear friend, when Aaron and Hur were on top of that mountain, and they were holding up the hands of Moses, they were the intercessors. And it was because of their intercession that the prayer warrior was able to go to battle. You need both. You need the prayer warrior who goes into the battle. Thank God for him. If you're one, praise God for you. But we need intercessors. That's the one, the spiritual discernment. That's the one who knows how to come before God. And he or she can see what's going on. They have a vision. They have an understanding. They have a revelation from the Almighty. And they begin to intercede on the behalf of someone else. So Moses interceded on behalf of Israel. God, in Jeremiah 15... Then said the Lord Jehovah unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me. You see that? Though they stood before me, though they interceded on your behalf, though they cried unto me, it will do you no good. Father, bless your word. And those that are listening this morning, those that have heard it, I hope that you didn't hear it with your ear. I hope you heard it with your heart. Temple Baptist Church, I love you. I want to see you. I want to see you soon. Let's pray that God opens the door and he makes it possible. And those of you watching that I don't know, the Lord knows you. And he wants you to come to him. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to get right with God. They're telling us now in the next few days that in New York and other places in the country that the death rate is going to just absolutely... probably, I guess, double. They're warning people that people are going to be dying everywhere. Do you fear death? Are you going to wait the last moment unprepared to meet God? I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. I know him, folks. You may never see me again, but I know where I'm going. Do you know that? Would you like to pray with me? Would you like to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, help me, give me strength and give me faith and give me light to get through these dark, dark days. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, save me. You don't have to say what I said. All you have to do in your way is to cry out to God and take hold of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll save you, and you'll rejoice in it, and you'll know it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Father, bless your word. Anoint it.
and touch the hearts of the people who've watched this preaching, who've listened to the message. Bless them. In thy holy name I pray. Amen. Folks, Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. And we'll have our service just like we have been. I think this is the third Sunday that we've been meeting like this. Who would have ever known it? I had no idea. I have no idea. You'd think that all the prophets we've got in the country, that at least one of them would have said something about a virus coming into this world. Not a word from a single one of them. This is a good time to have some self introspection. Look at yourself. Consider where you are. Consider how flim-flam and how cheap your faith is. This is no time to play games. God bless you. I'll see you at 6 o'clock.